I need to pray and try to, I don't want to say organize my thoughts, because that's not what I need to do. Yeah, I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. We are just blessed, God. We're blessed that we're yours. We're blessed that we're breathing. We're blessed that, Lord, you have chosen to love us, that you've chosen to see us, to know us, to lead us, to speak to us, to thank you for the greatness of who you are. We recognize you, Lord, in all humility and all thankfulness. We give you glory and honor, and we can only do that because of your Son. Thank you, God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that sets us free, that sets us in right relationship with you. Thank you for, Lord, seeing past all of our faults and all of our things that could and really should keep us from you. But you love us so much that you want us to be near you. And so we're thankful for that. We love you, Lord. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share a couple of things with you. I want to speak to you prophetically today. I feel really strongly that I have a word that is timely and necessary for moving forward. One of the things that I'm hearing over and over and over, and you may be hearing this as well, is from prophets and prophetic voices, is the word reset. I've heard it over and over and over. And I want to read to you really quickly a couple of just basic definitions of reset. And it means to set again or differently. To cause to enter the state of representing the number zero in computer or data transmission system. A reset clears any pending errors or events and brings a system to normal condition or an initial state, usually in a controlled manner. But I know that reset is much bigger than that, but I needed to read something that would help me to shift my mind into what reset looks like. And so I want to share a couple of thoughts with you, take you into some scripture, and help us to really set our course for reset and what that's supposed to look like and mean for us. And so one of the things the Lord shared with me this morning as I was pondering this, I want to start in Exodus chapter 3. I want to just read a couple of verses to you to set the stage for where I feel like the Lord wants to go today. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Listen to this next part. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. A couple of things, really basic, simple. You probably noticed because I brought a lot of emphasis to it, but he actually looked before he turned and looked. In other words, he glanced. This is just the way that I see it. Maybe he was walking by. He noticed the burning bush, and he had an opportunity. He looked. He could have went, wow, a sign and a wonder. Cool, thanks God. That was really awesome. Come on, sheep, let's keep going. But he made a choice to not just look, but to actually turn aside. Now, the word turn aside is the Hebrew word sewer. It's actually spelled C-W-U-R. It's part of the word teshuvah, which means to return. But to turn aside literally means to have to turn away from something else to give my full attention to the thing I'm turning to. It reminds me of this. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who will give to you without reproach, or without worrying about where you are. Because you ask, the God who has abundance of wisdom, he will give it to you. But the one who asks should ask in full faith without doubting, because he who doubts is like the one, he's like the waves of the sea who gets tossed to and fro by the wind. He who doubts should not expect or suppose that he will receive anything. So, if you listen to what I'm saying, the picture is like we have enough faith to believe that something is going to take place, but at the same time, we have one eye on doubt and one eye on faith. We have not turned aside from doubt, moved into full faith, and gone, I believe that God is going to reset something so drastically, so dramatically in this time, because we kind of have one hand over here or one foot over here and one foot and one hand over here. We have to be able to let go of any fear or doubt or even thought that somehow God is not fully. I'll pose it to you like this. When in history that God is in the midst of doing something, does it not turn out good? In other words, when is God up to doing something and it not turn out for good? It always does. But we have a tendency to kind of wait until we see the good coming out before we release and turn fully aside, turning away from the thing that we're trying to kind of hold on to. Here's what I believe that we're holding on to. And it's not like, oh, I don't think God wants to do anything. What I believe we're holding on to is normal thinking, normal church, normal ways of doing things, normal life, normal whatever. It's like we're trying to pull the reset and normal together and go, God, you can reset whatever you want as long as I can maintain normal, you know, I don't know if normality is the right word, but some sense of normal, even if some things shift, as long as I can hold on to what I'm comfortable to, I'll reset all day long. Now, here's what I also believe. It's been posed, the questions to me, things like, do you think we'll keep doing Zoom calls? Do you think we'll keep doing this or that? Here's what I believe. I believe that God has opened up new rooms in his house, and they will continue to be maintained in his house, but we don't have to live in that room. Do you understand? Like, it's always available. We can always utilize it. We can always have it. But I don't think he opens up new rooms in his house so that we can just move in there and stay in this one room and go, those rooms were really cool for a time. Now we got a new room. Let's live here. It's God is opening up new rooms so that we can live throughout his house and move in and out of whatever the season calls for. Now, Here's what I heard the Lord say that I believe is really a strong word. At least it is for me. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's talking to them about the end, and like, how will we know about the coming of the Son of Man? Jesus says in verse 37, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, or as in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. I have always, and I know it goes on to say they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and those things, but I have always, always, always read that verse from this point. Everything was wicked and bad and crazy and chaos. Because if you read Genesis chapter 6, which is the story of Noah, it says that God, in the Passion, it says he was grieved or sorry that he ever created people. You know, there was so much crazy things going on. So this is how it's always been taught to me, and maybe some of it's just my own supposing and figuring and thinking, but my thought has always been, you'll know the coming of the Son of Man because things will become really wicked and bad and negative. And it wouldn't take much of a rocket scientist to look around and know that things are wicked and bad, and that is true. But here's the twist that I felt like the Lord shared with me in this. As Noah was given the plans for the ark, number one, everyone around was given ample opportunity to come join and be a part of what was going on. It wasn't like God was like you, don't like you, I'm going to save this family because they're my favorite and I don't like any of you anymore. It wasn't like that. But here's the thing that I saw. I need to read it out of, because I wrote down some P's that I saw, P words, like the ark was for protection. The ark was for provision. The ark was for preservation. And the ark was to carry into promise. So there was an entire shift of eras going on. And I believe that we have shifted eras. We have shifted ions, if you will, or eons, however you want to say it, that we are not just shifting seasons, but we have shifted eras. And if we're trying to hold on to an old era as we're shifting into a new era, we're going to miss all that God wants to bring to us. And in the midst of us being brought into a new era, there is protection, there is provision, there is perseverance, preservation, and there is promise being fulfilled or brought into. So as it was in the days of Noah. In other words, this is how I'm seeing it. If we have our full attention, this is where Moses and that whole thing, if we turn away from what we currently know or let go of any doubt that we may have, that God is in the middle of doing something, and we fully turn and engage in what He's doing, He wants to show us the things that He's bringing for protection. He wants to show us the things that He's bringing for provision. He wants to show us the things that He's bringing for preservation, and He wants to show us the way to carry us into the promise. He's giving us opportunity right now, each of us, to be able to build arcs. Now, I'm not talking ARK, I'm talking ARC. The very presence of God was housed inside the Ark of the Covenant. He's given us opportunity and blueprints, as it were, to be able to build arcs in our home as we've been able to be in this place of rest. Now, I need to slow down because I'm just blowing up here in my mind. Here's a few things that I see that are going on in this particular time. In the midst of rest, which is what we're supposed to be doing, it's difficult. I have to be 100% honest. It is difficult. Even though we have maybe more time to be at home and more time to be with our family and more, we really have a tendency to try to keep ourselves busy so time passes, so we feel normal, so, you know, whatever. And it's just a natural thing, I think, that we as humans do. We have a hard time slowing down sometimes and entering into rest. But here's what I heard the Lord say. In a time of rest, lands heal. That's how you heal a land, is by giving it rest. If you continue to plant and grow and plant and grow, I know that you have to switch out crops and stuff, but there is seasons and times that land needs to rest so it can rejuvenate the nutrients and the strength of the soil. And so we as a people, we as a land, need this time of rest so that we can be healed. In rest, bodies heal. And so if we're not resting in a season when we're supposed to be resting, the healing that needs to take place in us as a people cannot take place because we're constantly trying to stay busy and running and doing. And I do recognize that there is a lot going on. There's a lot of things we can all be involved in. Those of us who are married, our wives probably have lists that run on and on and on and on and on. And no. I'm playing, sort of. unfortunately, I make my own lists, and they go on and on and on and on and on. But I'm at the same time trying to learn to step into rest because I want to be a part of the reset. I want to be a part of recognizing the era that we're moving into without trying to hold on to something that I'm comfortable with or that I know or that I recognize. Now, with that said, I also recognize that I don't want to just shift and change for shift and change sake. In other words, it's supposed to be different, so we got to make it look different, and we need to figure out how it all needs to... That's not rest. That's not okay. That's not... Going all the way back to Exodus 3, I really found it interesting that as Moses is walking by the bush, he notices the miracle, the sign, the wonder going on, but no voice. There's no speaking, no direction, no calling, no, it's just, it wasn't until Moses fully engaged with God that the voice actually called him out. So we can sit and think about shift and trust in shift and reset and new this and new era and new. But if we don't engage with God fully, turning away from all the distraction, the doubt, the fear, the jobs and all the things that we come up with to do, if we don't turn from that and engage with him, it's not that I don't believe he's speaking, I just don't think that he's going to fully speak forth what he wants to speak forth, because we're half in, half out, half engaged, half not engaged. Back to James, you shouldn't suppose you're going to get anything if you are double-minded in these things. I wrote this. This reset right now going on in our homes is a Sabbath. Quietness is the incubation bed for revelation. I believe that in the place of rest and quieting ourselves, we are opening the door for revelation to come forth. Here's what I need you to understand about rest, though. There are millions of people every night that sleep and are not at rest. Laying down or napping or sleeping or trying to just not be busy is not necessarily rest, because you can actually be really busy and still be at rest. You can be asleep and at rest, or asleep and not at rest. You can be busy and rest and not at rest. You see, it can go either way. I think it's one of the reasons, and I'm not necessarily coming against people who are needing sleep aids and stuff, but that's one of the reasons why it's such an epidemic in our countries, because we don't know how to rest. So we force our bodies to have to rest by taking things like Ambien to force ourselves into a place of rest, but we're not truly resting because we're still restless in the midst of even a forced rest. And again, if that's you, I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just saying it. To me, it's a picture of where we are. And so I find it interesting, again, Moses engaging with God, God calling him out, and then God begins to shift. I guarantee you, Moses grew up knowing his whole life, or most of his life, knowing that Israel believed in a deliverer. He finds out he's an Israelite, takes off running, and suddenly God comes and says, I'm about to push a reset button on everything you think and everything you believe. Even though you now know like that you're an Israelite, you now know you're a chosen son of the Most High God. You're discovering who God is at this point, all these things. But now I'm pushing a reset button, and I'm going to turn you around, and I'm going to send you in, not in strength, but in your weakness, I'm going to send you to speak forth my word with boldness and strength. So I believe that if we have our ear attentive to God's voice, without trying to figure out, I'm not very strong in that, that's not my thing, maybe that's for somebody else, but just engaging in what God says, maybe he's going to shift everything about you, everything that you thought you were going to do or you wanted to engage in. This is where we have, I think, and this is speaking me personally, have always had a bit of a hard time, because I have things pretty well figured out of what I think God is going to do with my life and the directions he's going to go. And it seems like it never, ever works that way. But that's what it feels like it should be. And it's usually based upon prophetic words. It's usually based upon, not that the prophetic words told me this is the way it's going to be. It's that my mind went, I grab a hold of that, and now I'm going to have the movie playing in my mind of what that's going to look like and how it's all going to pan out in my life. And what I end up doing inadvertently is I actually turn somewhat away from God and try to engage in this movie I've played out in my mind, though I still want to hear what God has to say, because I need your direction and I need your provision and I need your protection and I need the promise and I need all these things. But man, this really looks inviting and cool, and I'm separated now. And then suddenly I go, God, I'm re-engaging with you. Lord, what do you need me to do? And he says something, and I go, that's contrary to what the movie that played out in my mind looks like. So I think I need to go to a prophetic conference maybe and hear another word, or maybe I need to find somebody who will tell me that, yes or no to what you understand. And so I believe that we're moving into a time right now that as we fully engage with him, we may hear some things that make us go, ooh, I don't know about that. That seems a little bit out of my wheelhouse, or a little bit different than what I, thought I would be doing, or direction I would be going, or I don't know if I this sort of just happened to me and Sage recently. It's on a small scale but similar. We had discussed something that we felt like was right, that even the Lord would be okay with. Like, I think this is what God wants us to do. And It actually was this morning. Sage pulled me aside and said, I'm feeling like really strongly that the Lord actually wants us to do this and not this. And I'm like, well, gee, if that's what you heard from the Lord, that's what we need to do. And so we engaged in a place of prayer, and we stepped into what we felt like the Lord told her. And then ultimately, I feel like I got confirmation on it, and we moved forward in what we felt. Even though we had already predetermined that this was what we felt like, not that necessarily God wanted us to do, but that it just made sense. Like, you know, if you, I'll give you an example of what I, because I don't necessarily want to give that example because it's a little sensitive to others. If you were to, let's say, sell a house and you made a profit off the selling of that house, and then you went, you know, I'm not sure if we need to tithe on this money because it's equity, it's not income, it's not, you know, whatever. And that's between you and God. You do whatever you... Why is my son calling me? Christian, yeah, he's not watching, obviously. I was going to reprimand him over the internet, but... Anyway, but you predetermine, I feel like the Lord is okay with me doing this, and I feel that's the right thing, and that's okay. If that's what you feel, that's okay. But then a little bit later, you're engaging with God, and God says, I blessed you with that. I want you to do this with that. Maybe I want you to give it to somebody else. Or maybe I want you to just tithe on it and you can keep the rest, or whatever. We have a choice at that point to either go, I kind of like the first solution I came up with a little better than what I just heard. And so, honestly, there's a battle that goes on there. And so we're getting ready to move into a time where I believe it's not far off. And I kind of have a time frame in my mind of when this is going to take place. But I don't feel like I am at liberty to release all that right now. But we're getting ready soon to be released back into a time where we can start meeting and things going back to larger crowds and things like this. And I can personally feel the pressure right now to try to figure out what that's going to look like, what we're going to do about it. And I think there are things that we do in wisdom. There are things that we do to ensure that we're within mandates and various things, and I'm good with that. I will do whatever the government at this point tells us to do. But... at the same time, I know that we are being called to make some shifts in what we're doing and how we're doing what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing, where we're doing what we're, you know, all those things, and what that's going to look like and what that's going to do. And I don't think that I haven't necessarily played out in my mind how that's all going to look. But I do have some senses in my spirit and in my gut, but I want to fully engage with God that if it looks so radically different than what I'm already feeling and thinking, that I engage with Him and not with myself and what I feel like I want to do. I feel like we are in a time right now of a burning bush right in front of us, and we have an opportunity. This is not just the church. This is each one of us as a family, as in our own personal lives. I would even say prophetically right now, if you're in a place where maybe you've lost your job or something to that nature, I would ask you this, Is it the job that God told you? You know, like, is it where you're supposed to be? If it is, trust and know that it's going to be there. If it's not, maybe God is trying to give you something so different than, you know, what you thought you were supposed to do. But we are standing in a burning bush time. And if we don't engage with that, we're going to miss. Fathers, dads, husbands, I believe that we are standing in a burning bush moment. And as our families, if we don't engage with what God is doing, we don't fully give Him our attention, we're going to miss the blessing of what that could mean to our families, to our homes, ultimately to our communities, to our state, to our nation. I mean, you can go on and on, because what affects you affects me. What affects you affects your community, and so on and so forth. So if we choose not to engage, it's not just about me or you. It's about a larger picture that ultimately will play out, but God wants you to be a player in that play, you know? So just like, I know I'm kind of bouncing a little bit, but just like in the story of Noah and the ark, God was continually calling people to come. Come and get in this ark. Come and be a part. Turn from the wickedness. Jump in the ark. You know, you'll be saved. And here's the thing about Noah's ark that I've thought of, but every time I think of it, it sort of short-circuits my thinking. Up until the point of the first raindrops falling, it had never rained in history. The ground was watered from underneath. The ground was watered because of the atmosphere and the dew and various things that were, but it had not, it didn't rain. And so when people, even Noah, you put yourself in Noah's position and God says, it's going to rain. Well, what's rain, God? You know? That's when water falls from the sky. Huh? Okay, that's weird. But it wasn't just water from the sky. I recognize it came from the ground. It, windows of heaven open, yada, yada. I get all that. But so as he's telling Noah this, and then Noah is then telling other people this, they're all going, you're nuts. You're talking about things that don't even exist. You're talking about doing things that, like, you're building a boat and you're not even near water. That's dumb. That's, you know, and maybe to them it was like, what's a boat? What in the world? A boat? What do you mean a boat? What's a boat? You know, what's that for? That thing's giant, you know? And so I want to so engage with God that maybe He gives us something so ridiculous sounding and crazy that people go, that doesn't even make sense. You're not in Africa. You're not, you know, or whatever. You're not this or you're not that. Why are you preparing healing rooms? Why are you, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that's what God's saying. I'm just trying to give examples. But I just believe that we need to be so engaged that no matter what it looks like, sounds like, that we trust Him, again, for the protection, the provision, the preservation, and the promise to all come forth as we fully engage, not in a place of lack or doubt or fear or any of those things, fully engaged in a place of full faith, believing that He will do what He said He's going to do. Here's the last thought that I want to share with you about this, because I think this encouraged me as I was thinking about this yesterday. We know that God doesn't live inside of what we call time. He's infinite. He sees the beginning from the end from the beginning. So God starts at the end and works His way to the beginning, where we start at the beginning and work our way to the end. And so as He's speaking forth promise, He's standing at the finish line, letting us know what He is doing or seeing right here. And we're engaging from over here, and we're not able to really fully see it. And we either have a choice to trust in the word that He's speaking, knowing that He's speaking it from a place of seeing it, Or we engage in what we can ultimately see and sense and think and feel, and like, I can see a couple of things, but I'm not sure. That looks like it's over here, and I feel like we're supposed to go, you know. And so if we fully engage with him, fully trust in him, we know that he's speaking from a place of surety, and we can trust in that place. And so as you engage with God, I just want to encourage you to recognize and know that he's speaking to you from a place of a finished work and a finished promise. And he's not speaking from a level where we are, where we're going, you can trust in the word. You can trust that even though it may look a little chaotic and crazy and maybe seem even somewhat dangerous maybe or whatever, that it will turn out for good. It will turn out in a position of working out all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I said that would be the last thing, so I'm going to try to be good with that. Yeah, you don't need to know any of these crazy thoughts. Just in a, like, whoa sense. I don't know if, did any of you know that there was a Category 5 hurricane, number 5 is Grace, April 6th, it hit the island of Espiritu Santo, which is Holy Spirit. You can look it up, April 6th, it hit Holy Spirit Island, and then moved on from there and hit Pentecost Island, which is just, I think, southeast or southwest of Espiritu Santo. And so we're getting ready to move into Pentecost. Pentecost is May 31st, which I believe is super significant. Passover was really significant, and there was a turning and a shifting that took place as of Passover, but I believe that when we come into Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover, we're not going to just see a shift. We're going to see this is the wrong terminology. I don't know how else to put it, but a slamming into gear. Like I'm not sensing just a shift, but this is kind of scary to say, but I see a slamming into gear, but a shaking that takes place in that slamming. And I don't know what that means, and it almost scares me a little bit to say that, but I see, when I say gear, I don't mean like a shifting of gears like a truck. I see literal gears that are coming together, teeth to teeth, like where they fit, meshing together, but slamming in, and in the slamming there will be a shaking that takes place, but it is a good thing. It is not a bad thing. And so I don't know what that's going to look like. Sorry, I don't have more. That's just what I heard. But again, I know if you look up the thing that I just told you about the hurricane, it actually says that right before, I think it was the day before or the day it hit, the hurricane hit Holy Spirit Island, they had just declared a state of emergency from the pandemic coronavirus. And so it was an attack on, this is how I see it, I see an attack on the physical people, you know, with the coronavirus, and then there was a catastrophic hurricane that came in, but it shifted from that point, from Holy Spirit Island to Pentecost, and I didn't read much about what kind of damage it caused and all that stuff, because I don't think that's relevant to what I'm sensing. I just am seeing the wind of the Spirit moving into a place of Pentecost. And so, did you catch that? A shifting. I felt really relevant. And again, I want to say this. When has God ever not made things better? When he's in the midst of doing something, when has it ever not become better? Always. I can hear it. I heard somebody over the internet. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? We're not going to talk about that today, though I could refute that. But whoever said that, I heard you. Yeah. So, a couple of things. I want to encourage you to, in this season especially, this shifting, this era that we're moving into, do not shrink back from giving. Do not let yourself get caught up in what you see or what you feel. And again, I have said this every week. I will say this again. If the Lord puts it on your heart to give, give. But if you're in a time where you're not receiving any income, there's no condemnation. There's no reason, again, unless the Lord tells you to do it, he doesn't judge like you. There's something that's written that says you have to give every week, whether you have any money or not. That's not, at least I don't believe that. So you're released if you do not, you know, have an income. Don't feel like you have to. But I do believe that the Lord has spoken to me about giving from our place of need or what would be considered possibly lack, and seeing him in his faithfulness come through and shift things. And so maybe there is someone who feels like, I don't have a job, I'm not going to give. And the Lord is telling you to. Hear what he says, not what I say. So here's a couple of things. You can give online, akbridgeofhope.com. There's a PayPal link there you can give. If you're not comfortable with that and you'd rather write a check, there is a lockbox on the gym door that has a slot. You can slide it in and it drops into a lockbox. And so you can certainly stop by and do that. Or you can mail it. They do still do mail, right? Yeah, okay. I'm only playing. I mail things too. You can snail mail it here, 20640 Chapel Drive, or you can get in touch with me if you're like, I don't feel comfortable with any of that. I'd like to hand somebody a check. You can certainly do that as well. You can call me. I'm here every day at least until 1 o'clock, and I will gladly receive from you whatever. So I wanted to encourage you in that. There was one of the, Zoom call. Every week in the morning at 9 a.m. on Sundays, we open up a Zoom call. At 9:30, we start prayer time from 9:30 to 10. And then after service, the Zoom call starts up again. And it's a time where you can fellowship a little bit. You can ask people to pray for you, you know, whatever. We just wanted to have that as an avenue for you to be able to be encouraged and prayed for. The number is 7. It's on the webpage. Okay, but I think it's 739-777-694, and the password is 029-863. Just in case you need to get on there, you can. It's probably open now. If that was the wrong number, I extremely apologize. But I think I was right. Yeah. Hey, you can bust into somebody else's meeting. On our webpage, though, it is posted on there, and also on our Facebook, it should be posted on there as well. So I would encourage you to jump on. It's probably open right now. And you can jump on there and be encouraged, be prayed for, And so I'm going to pray for us and just believe for the shifting that God wants to take place. So just engage your hearts in this prayer. So Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you give us opportunity after opportunity to turn aside and engage in what you're doing, that even though often we are distracted and we have our own thoughts or even sometimes our own agendas, Lord, we choose today to turn aside from those things, to fully engage with you, to have our ear attentive to your word. And we say, Lord, speak, we are listening. Just like Moses, Lord, here I am. What is it that you want your servant to do? Father, we engage with you now, and we trust that as you're shifting us into new things, new eras, new times, and even into a place of arcs in our homes and in our lives, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to do whatever you call us to do. I believe that our hearts are fully engaged with whatever that looks like, even if it's very different than what we thought. Lord, we are happy to just be with you. And so, Lord, again, shift us, change everything that you want to change. Keep everything the same that you want to keep the same. Lord, we just want to engage with you. We love you, Lord, and we give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you so much for joining us. Go jump on the Zoom call.